Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Interesting little portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. Thank you for what you're doing in the midst of our church family. New babies, new life, changed hearts. All kinds of stuff you're doing, Lord. Operation Christmas Child boxes. Lord, it's good to be a part of your kingdom and part of your will. And Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. And we pray all this only and always in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. So in recent days, I've had some time to reflect on what seems to be a strange time, I think, in our country, but not only in our country, but the world as well. And I alluded to this a couple weeks ago. I've just noticed there seems to be this sort of general malaise that's sort of descended upon our nation. You can kind of see it. You can kind of feel it all over the place. It's in families. It's in community groups. It's even in churches. Okay, what am I talking about? It seems that many people these days are feeling pretty raw and pretty exhausted in life. There's been so much going on, and if we think about it, it's not so hard to uncover. The world shut down for nearly 2 years, and all the restrictions, and people are just getting going again. There are serious political divisions. They've come to a bit of a head in this week's midterms. They were fueled by what sociologists call the culture wars in our country. We've got serious inflation, war in the Ukraine, new geopolitical alliances that are shifting and helping us to understand our world in a different sort of way. This doesn't include just life for people. Daily life, relationships, all of this has at moments felt like it's a little bit hard for us to handle, I think, in life. Well, kind of like the time. When a man and a woman reached the very difficult decision that he and his wife did not want children, decided they don't want them. So they put a notification in the church bulletin saying that if anyone did want children, they should send the couple their contact information and they would be happy to drop their children off at their house the next day. Have you felt that way during the last couple years? Let me just drop these kids off. You know, the good news is we're not so unique. These things have happened before. The book of Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new under the sun. If we know a little bit of history, it was just a little over 100 years ago when the world and our nation faced the Spanish flu. Now, that was a pandemic. And it occurred during World War I. The pandemic alone took 50 million lives in this world. Do you know that next week the world population will officially tick at 8 billion? That's news from this week. Back then, I don't think we were at 4 or 5 million. So it was more like 100 million people in today's numbers. And then World War I took 20 million additional lives, civilians and military, and it left 21 million more wounded. That was a little over 100 years ago. Kind of makes COVID-19 and the COVID-19 virus and the war in Ukraine, all that kind of stuff, it's sort of pale by comparison. I'm not saying it wasn't significant, but political strife, economic inflation, it's nothing new. It's not new in our country. It's certainly not new in the history of the world. And while we may feel helpless to fix, let alone control, the circumstances and events of our day, there are things that you and I can do as Christians that will not only help us to weather life in this current situation, but it will actually help us to experience greater peace in the midst of it all. So over the last several weeks, I've been thinking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Our Thursday Night Life group have been looking at the Beatitudes, which is a part of that. And one of the ideas that has come to me in the last few weeks, our children really love children's church, by the way, and I love it. We want that life. The Sermon on the Mount, we've been looking at these themes. One of the things that I've thought about lately is this idea of guarding the gates. Now, that's kind of an odd idea. What do you mean, guarding the gates? in these challenging times of our life, how can you and I be intentional as Christians? Right? When everything seems to be going, falling apart, can we be intentional in our lives? How did we get to where we are today? Or as they say, when everybody else is losing their heads, how can we keep our own on? Well, in some ways, all of this goes back almost 100 years. September 7th, 1927, a 21-year-old young man named Philo, there he is, Taylor Farnsworth, produced the first device that would become what we call the television set. Young guy, 21 years old. And it's really interesting because this gentleman did not have electricity in his house until he was 14. Any of you met some of these old Bitterrooters? You know, in their 60s, 70s, they grew up in a log cabin, outhouse, no electricity. I'm not making this up. I mean, they're still around. Maybe some of you. Lee, is that you, Lee? Jeff? They're not saying nothing. You know, both television and movies were new and even controversial in those days, with actor Groucho Marx famously being asked, he was once asked, "Mr. Marx, what do you think of this newfangled thing called television?" And he said, "I think it's wonderful." He said, further adding, "Whenever somebody turns on the television, I leave the room and go read a book." That's Groucho Marx. You see, they knew then what we know now as well today, is that what you let and you choose to allow to pass through the gates of your eyes or ears matters. Now more than ever. This is my point this morning. Didn't Jesus say, Matthew 6, 22 and 23, the eye is what? It's the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, is he really talking about physical eyesight? If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your body will be filled with darkness. Now, what's interesting, some four decades after that, Christian author Thomas Merton was once asked about, you know, the proliferation of radio and television in the 1960s, and he said this in the 1960s. He said, "Watching or listening to too much of either with the constant barrage of advertisements will seriously harm the spiritual well-being of anyone who excessively imbibes." That's the 1960s. I think we were talking about this last week in adult ed. Growing up, Dana, you had one TV station?
Yes.
Man, I was lucky I had like six because I lived in Detroit. It doesn't mean I should have been watching any of it. But, and you know, a handful more radio stations. What about now? There's nothing on, man. Really? Really? Maybe get outside. Well, my wife was commenting this. It was this year, last year. She went camping with her family back in Michigan, and she said, "There's the strangest things happened." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He said, "You never saw kids at the campgrounds anymore, because they were all inside the trailer doing this instead of being outside. Kick them outside and do it in Jesus' name. Take away the device is part of the thing." Oh, that's so harsh. No, it's not, right? That was, you know, back in the day, everything has just proliferated. Now, you know I love Our Daily Breads. I love to start my day with that. Our Daily Bread author, Patricia Raybon, wrote a devotional this month called Hearing Christ, Not Chaos. She wrote this: "After watching TV news for hours and hours each day, an elderly man grew agitated, anxious, and worried that the world was falling apart and taking him with it." Sound familiar? And his daughter actually said this: "Please turn it off. Please turn it off. Just stop listening." But did the old guy listen to her? No. He kept watching, kept listening to this, and guess what? He actually descended into greater worry, anxiety, and depression. Do you know anybody like that over the last couple of years? Again, what you choose to watch and listen to as a Christian each day and each week really, really matters. Kind of like the time when an old man thought his wife was losing her hearing. So he called the doctor and he said, "Doc, my wife is losing her hearing." And he said, "Let's try a little experiment." He said, "Ask her a question from the next room in a normal tone and keep asking while coming closer and until she can hear you. And then you'll know the range of her hearing." And the old man thought that was a pretty good idea. So that night, while sitting on his easy chair, wife was cooking cooking dinner in the kitchen from about 20 feet away. He said, in his normal tone, he said, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" And he heard no reply. So he got up and he moved to the kitchen entrance about 10 feet away from her and said, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" And there was no reply. And then finally he got right up behind her. And for the third time, he said, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" To which she replied, "For the third darn time, Clarence, I said we're having chicken." No, it's always everybody else with the problems, not you or me. Jeez, Clarence. So let me ask you a simple question. In this current world of panic, are you listening to Christ or are you listening to chaos? What's chaos's message? Well, it's one and the same with Satan, right? Anxiety, confusion, disorder. Isn't that a good description of the last 2 years? Sound about right? Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So let me ask you this question. Who or what are you following these days? What are you following? Researchers have definitively proven now that the more time you spend on the screen, whether it be social media, TV, whatever, the greater levels of anxiety and depression you will experience. Did you know, I found this fascinating, that social media and video games are now the new addiction of choice for many Americans? In addition to drugs and alcohol, social media and video game addictions are now being treated at rehab centers all over our country. Facts. Ask Brenda. She's a counselor. She's watched this trend, right? This is not speculation again. This is proven fact. Jesus wasn't exactly talking about physical sight in Matthew 6, was he? He was talking about spiritual sight, spiritual hearing, and that kind of thing. God has given most of us 5 physical senses. Have you ever realized he gave you 5 spiritual senses? How are they doing today is the question. Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your spiritual eyes are healthy, your body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, you'll be full of darkness. And if you're full of darkness, how great that darkness will be." So what are you casually letting in through the gates, you could say, of your eyes or of your ears? Could these things be causing you anxiety, spiritual disturbance, if not danger? When was the last time, if ever, you actually sat down and considered your daily or weekly visual and auditory consumption? Have you done that? In light of the time that you spend with the Lord? Another thing I noticed this week, our Daily Bread author, Glenn Packey, and I thought this was interesting, addressed the issue in Wednesday's devotional entitled, "Wise or Unwise?" He wrote, "When I was 10, I brought home a cassette tape from a friend at youth group that contained the music of a contemporary Christian band. My dad, who was raised a Hindu but later received salvation through faith in Jesus, did not approve." "He only wanted worship music played in our home. I explained, 'Dad, this is a Christian band.' He didn't care. And after a while, though, he suggested that I listen to this tape and ask one question. Is it bringing me closer to God or pushing me away from God?" That's a great question to take away today. Whatever I'm doing, thinking, watching, is it drawing me closer to the Lord or pushing me farther away? And Glenn said, "You know, that was wisdom for me to think about in my life." Now you may say, "Come on, Jim, it's a Christian band." I'd say, "Yeah, it's probably just fine." But again, what's the question that Glenn's dad posed? Is whatever you're doing, listening, being a part of, bringing you closer to Jesus or pushing you away from Jesus? That is an important question. You know, to push the metaphor maybe a little bit, you could say that I've observed that many Christians have abandoned their own gates over time and space. Don't even consider the question in regards to their own spiritual well-being and their family's Christian life. You could say, pushing it, that they've released and even fired the guards as unnecessary, and now their gates in their lives are completely open and absolutely undefended. In a time of war, is that wise? That's dereliction of duty, right? Do you know what happened in Bible times if a guard fell asleep and a prisoner escaped through a gate or an enemy came in? Automatically, summarily execution. You're executed. No trial, no ifs, no ands, and no buts about it. That's how it worked. Are there any guards guarding your life or guarding your heart right now in this time? Jesus said in John 10, 7 and 9, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Right? He's the gate. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Could this spiritual gate thing be a problem in our lives? You bet. But you may say, Jim, are you actually suggesting that I put severe limits on my consumption of social media, news feeds, and television viewing? That sounds perfectly medieval. Is it? Is it really? Christian author John Eldridge, who's also a trained professional counselor, has actually said, how about this? "For every hour of social media and news that you watch, you should spend an hour with the Lord." Ooh, oh, that's fanatical, Jim. Is it really? Spend an hour with the Lord, praying or in his word, the Bible, fellowshipping with people. You know, how do you view church attendance? Do you gotta or do you getta? I really gotta go to church today. It ain't gonna last. You're gonna peel off in hard times. But do you get to come and be with God's people? See what's going on. Be with one another, encouraging one another. You know, this is a double-edged sword. We've talked about this. We have a pretty darn good live stream, thanks to Sven and Marie. So thank you guys for what you do, yes. But here's the problem. It was great during the pandemic. It's great for shut-ins. My mom in Michigan watches every week in addition to going to her church. When my dad was still alive, he could critique my sermons from 2,000 miles away. That was awesome. But what it's not for is for people to kind of get up and say, I don't want to go to church. I'll just roll over in my pajamas, get a hot cup of Java, and just, I'll worship online. It ain't the same, folks. It ain't the same. Lima sent me a meme this week, and it said, online church is like watching a fireplace on your TV. Anybody do that during Christmas? It's so lame. You know, I got my Christmas tree, but the fireplace is over here, and it's just like, I got to get the feeling. You know, and you turn on this dumb... It looks cool, but there's no warmth in it, is there? There's no warmth because it ain't real. That's the kind of thing that I'm kind of trying to talk about a little bit this morning as well. Well, since I'm on a roll, let me ask another incredibly annoying question. Do you want to be filled with the light of the Lord or the darkness of the devil in your life? It's really simple. What you choose to marinate in each and every week matters. What you choose to look at and listen to really matters. And what you choose and how you choose to guard the gates of your own eyes and hearts really, really, really does matter. Kind of like the time when a Catholic priest was approached one night by Satan himself, who said, "Don't be frightened. I have an offer to make you. I will make you tremendously powerful, famous, and rich in return for one little, tiny, small favor. Do not make deals with the devil." He said, "For all of that, you must give me half of your ability to hear." I thought that was strange. The priest was stunned and said, "Let me think about it for a few days." Next day, the priest requested an audience with the bishop for his advice. And he said, and the bishop said, "A deal with Satan, don't do it. It will endanger your immortal soul." But the bishop knew that he hadn't completely convinced the priest, so he went to meet with a cardinal of the church. And the cardinal replied, "Hearing is a gift from God. It's forbidden to sacrifice any part of it. Besides, never make a deal with the devil." But unfortunately, the priest still wasn't convinced. He was still thinking about all that wealth and fame and power he would receive, so the cardinal requested an audience with the Pope in Rome. The three of them came to the papal office with great awe, and after they sat, the cardinal spoke and said, "Your Holiness, this priest has a terrible temptation from the Prince of Darkness and needs your advice." But much to the shock of the priest, the bishop, and the cardinal, the Pope replied, "Sorry, could you speak up a little louder? I've lost half my hearing." Jim hates the Pope. It's a joke. What? Jim hates the Pope. In these challenging times, Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard what? Your heart, because it's the wellspring of life." Why? Jesus said in Matthew 6:22 and 23, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are, your spiritual eyes are healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be filled with darkness. So please, please remember this week to guard your gates. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for the privilege of getting to be in your house and being with your people and being on mission. And Lord, we just thank you for these boxes that will go out to third world children that will just be a game changer for all those that will hear the gospel because of these gifts of love. And Lord, as we move into the holiday seasons very soon, we pray that you would help us to guard our gates, Lord, and that we would take time with you each and every day to build our relationship with you and to call on you to make us strong and stable Christian people in a very unstable world. And so, Lord, as we soon go from this place, we just thank you for your great love, and we thank you, Jesus, for all of this and more, and we pray it in your name, saying, amen. Amen.